North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we? Are we good? Are we? I'm not so sure. How are we this morning? We're good? Good. Well, I am all fired up this morning, and I don't know if it's just that I get really geeked, I get really excited, I get really happy about seeing the fruit of the ministry of this church. So I love to send people on mission for Christ. I love that we get to gather together to talk about and explore how God might be gearing us up. But I don't know about you, but I have been a little more amped than usual this morning. And I don't know if it just has to do with the topic that I get to share with you today, or if it's that I'm seeing I got some good friends from my coaching world, some family in the house, and of course some of my ministry partners from the district all here this morning. I just want to say welcome. We're so glad that you're here at North Rock, and I'm excited about this season of the church that we're in. How many of you guys know that August leads into September? Right? Amen. That's insightful stuff. Y'all write that down, right? August is a season of preparation, not just for football season, as some of you guys might be aware of, right? I think there's something called the Hall of Fame game that's being televised tonight. I think that's why half of our congregation is gone right now. They're doing their tailgating. They're getting all ready to go, something to that effect. But it's a season of the church's life where people start to come back from the mountains and from all the recreational activities that they're doing, and we start to move forward again in kind of September and October towards the greater things that God's doing in our midst. How many of you guys know that life is made up of rhythms? And I can tell you that as a football coach, the product of what we see when the world champions, Denver Broncos, take the field on that very first game against the Carolina Panthers is not something that they just kind of sat around on the couch and ate Cheetos to get prepared for. No. There was a draft, right? Everybody talked about the draft. And then there was a free agent market. And we worked the free agent market. And there were off-season training activities, and there were weight room, and there was nutrition that was done, and there were speed camps, and on and on. And then there was practice, and then there was spring camp and summer camp, and then fall camp that leads all into that. And then what we used to call two-a-days, which they don't allow high school coaches to do anymore. Let's just take a moment and grieve that passing. But you guys understand what I'm talking about, is that in order for a team to come together, it takes a lot of preparation and attention to detail and the focus of what they're trying to do. How many of you guys are aware that as we sit here today, we've been drafted into God's team? You may not have made the Broncos roster in the NFL, but if you're here today, you've been drafted into God, the GFL, right? God's family league, all right? That's part of what we do when we come to celebrate and learn from God's word and to worship. We are truly training for eternity. It's not just that we've gathered here to hear a message, to have some great worship, and to kind of encourage one another. We're actually here in order for God to develop his plans and his purposes over us. How many of you guys, as you sit here today, are aware that God has a dream and a vision for your life? That those dreams and visions, even though they may tarry, are as real and as true and as active as the first time you ever heard them or the first time you ever read them from God's word. That is the promise of God's word to us. And so as we get into this series, Gear Up, we're talking about how is God gearing us up for our next season, for the big game, and how it is that he's preparing us for eternity. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into the scriptures, and I'm going to highlight a story from the Old Testament that I think will encourage us today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and be reminded that you yourself have selected us, Lord, that you have drafted us into your kingdom. And that, Lord, as we go about our business, as we go about our lives, as we go about our families and our work and our fun and our relationships, Lord, we know that you are active in our midst. Lord, we know that you have called us and prepared us for this season. And Lord, we just do our very best today to focus our ears, focus our eyes, to hear your voice in the midst of many distractions, many delays, and many challenges that we face in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I mentioned that it's still preseason. And I know that in the midst of our congregation, there's some people just going, all right, already. We don't want to watch the preseason. Let's get on with the regular season. You know, I identify with that element in our lives as Christians and as leaders in His kingdom, that sometimes I just want to get into the promised land. Anybody testify to that today? That I just want to be there. I want to see, when I close my eyes and I see that vision that God has for us, that He has for me, that He has for my family, that He has for those who call on His name, I just want us to live there in the promised land. And yet when I look back at the faithfulness of God and what He has done in His people from the start of creation, in the midst of them moving from where they are into the promise that God has for them, that I realize that there's a lot that God wants to teach me. There's a lot that God wants to do to develop in us as we move into our best future. The title of my message today is Directions During a Destiny Detour. How many of you guys, as you come here today, would say, I think I'm in some form of destiny detour right now? That I know what it is that God has spoken, but like, you know, I got stuck in this cul-de-sac. It's like trying to find a friend's house for the first time, right? And Siri's, you know, gone all astray. And we're making our way around. We're four-wheeling over people's lawns, trying to get to where we're supposed to get to. That can sometimes feel what the experience of following Jesus through this crazy world that we live in can feel like. Good news is He never loses our coordinates. And that even when we lose sight of the promises and the vision that He might have for us personally and collectively as part of His body, He never loses sight of where we're at. He never loses sight of what He wants to do in our lives, and He is committed to fulfilling our destinies. How many of you guys believe that with me here today? So today, as part of this new series of gearing up, we're going to talk about how God helped Caleb from the Old Testament gear up for his mission in life. How many of you guys know who Caleb is just by me mentioning it, his name? In Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 through 33, I'm going to give you just a quick summation of that because I made my font too small so you couldn't read it anyway, okay? But Caleb and Joshua were two of the people that were sent into the promised land to spy it out and find out what it was that God was leading them into out of the wilderness for Israel, right? You guys are familiar with the story? And in that story, it says that they went in and they found out that God's promises were great, that it did really flow with milk and honey, and there were good things on the other side of the challenges of getting to that place. And so they went out with this group of people. They came back. They gave the report and said that God, it really is good. We can really go do this. Let's go and do it. And the rest of the group amongst them said, yeah, there's like giants in the land. And there's dangers, and the cities are well fortified, and I'm not sure we can do it because we look like grasshoppers in their eyes, and to be truthfully honest, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. You guys remember that passage? Okay, if not, you can read it, just not while I'm preaching. You can read it later, okay? Numbers 13, 26 through 33. So Caleb was one who came back and saw the vision. He saw that there was a purpose that God had in what He was doing in revealing His promises for His people, and he gave a good report. So the first point that we're going to talk about today, as we consider how it is that you and I live out the vision that God has for our lives, is that we need to have vision. Don't tell me you can't read that. I just asked you to have vision. Let me ask you again, how many people have vision in this place? Come on, Ed, you can see that. You can read. Ed, would you just read this passage for us? No, I'm not going to do that, okay? So that's part of why we're not going to read it together. But it's the story that I just told you. And my first point is simply this, that in order for us to gear up for the vision and the purpose and the promises that God has for us, we have to have bold vision. We have to be able to see that vision. And that vision is what compels us to move forward with God into the season He has for us and out of our past season. How many of you guys know God has been faithful to us both personally and collectively for a long time? Right? This church is over 20 years old. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. God is still faithful. No matter what He's accomplished in your life up to this point, He has a greater future for you. Why do I know that? I know that because God's word says that. that his promises over his people are yes and amen in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm somewhere still on my destiny detour. I still haven't come into the fullness of what I know that God wants to give us. You know how I know that? Because he said he's called us into eternity. I mean, think about that for a minute. It's like our whole lives here on earth is just like one great big preseason. We're learning the behaviors. We're learning the directions. We're learning how to hear his voice. We're learning how to worship. We're learning how to serve. We're learning how to make a difference and impact in a world that desperately needs Jesus. But at the end of the day, it's just the first quarter of the game. How many of you guys know that God's got a future for you? That he's got eternity in mind for us? And that he has a purpose and a plan to prosper us and to bless us? But what we're talking about today is how is it that we can live like Caleb and have the perseverance and the boldness to continue to pursue promises, even though we might get discouraged sometimes in our detours. Gearing up means seeing a bold vision. And here's kind of my premise for this point, okay? I'm pointing my clicker here, and I'm pressing the button. It came up. You know why it's not working? Because I'm pointing it at that. I need to be up here. Okay. So, all right, back on track. So, here's my premise. My premise is that we will not do what we need to do in order to prepare ourselves for the promises that God has for us if we don't believe that there really is the promise of God lying ahead for us. In other words, if I don't believe that we can win a world championship for the Denver Broncos, I'm not going to show up to the OTAs, right? I'm going to sit around and eat Cheetos. I'm going to lay around in my recliner, and then we'll just show up and play the games, right? So and when it comes to following Jesus in this life, I don't believe that we'll prepare for what we do not believe lies ahead for us. So here's a couple of scriptures. Again, this is just my opinion, but here's a couple of scriptures that I think help illustrate or make my point for me. You guys remember Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12? Says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. You guys remember that one? But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Again, that idea that our hope, when our hope is taken away, when it's deferred, when it's delayed, when it takes a little bit of more time than we want it to take for God to do what we know that he said that he's going to do in our lives, that our heart can get sick. But when it comes to pass, when that vision comes to pass, it's a tree of life for us. How many of you guys, like me, understand that most of what God is going to do in delivering his promise to us happens along the way? It happens along the way, right? So that's the first piece. The second piece is Proverbs chapter 29, verses 18. Okay, it says that without vision, a people what? People perish. One of my favorite versions of that says that without a vision, without a dream, without revelation, right, it says that the people cast off restraint. That's what I was illustrating with the idea of people not going to training camp, not doing the work in order to go and fulfill the dream that they have because they might have gotten their heart sick. And so the rest of the time that we're here, we're going to look at Caleb's life, how he prepared for the dream that God gave him. And here's the great part about Caleb. Why I love him so much is even though I feel like my dreams may be delayed a little bit, they haven't been delayed as long as Caleb. Anybody got a witness on that today, right? I mean, Caleb was part of the crew that was wandering around in the wilderness, right? And that even though he and Joshua were the only ones who were allowed to go into the promised land, he still spent another bunch of years, at least five, fighting for the inheritance of God's promises for everybody else before he got his. Isn't that crazy to think about this? 45 years between when Moses said, I'm going to give you that land, you're going to go in and possess it, you're going to go own this, it's going to be yours, and the time when he actually inherited it, right? So two questions I want us to wrestle with today is one, do you have a vision for your life? And I'm not just talking about, yeah, I want to make my bills. I'm not just talking about, yeah, I'd like to own a car at some point in my life, right? I'm talking about a 3G goal, a God-given goal, a big, hairy, audacious goal, something that cannot and will not be accomplished in your life without his participation. How many of you guys know that's what we want to do here at North Rock, right? We want to make an impact in eternity. We want to make a difference in the lives of people in a way that transforms their life forward, okay? So the rest of the time, we're going to be talking about how do we make progress towards those by looking at Caleb's life. And we're going to talk about what do we do in the meantime while we wait on God to be just on time. How many of you guys know that God's always on time? How many of you guys know that his clock is not my clock? Right? Sometimes it's like, okay, what? We're on God's time. Okay, God's time. Right. I got it. It's God's time. Some of you in this room may remember that little magnet that I have up there. Can you guys see that picture? Come on, we're working on your vision. Look hard. Come on, squint for me. Look up there. That's a magnet that we gave out in this church when we moved in here over 12 years ago. It was a magnet that spoke of the promises of the people that God was going to call to this church that weren't even here at the time. It's really speaking of a lot of you. A lot of you who have come and begun to participate in the life of North Rock are the promises of the fulfillment of part of our dream here at North Rock to reach 1% of our city and our community. I can tell you that that vision compels my life. That vision, the reason it's still on my refrigerator is because it's something that God continues to nurture in my heart to remind us that he's not done yet, that he still has more to do in and through us, right? And the promise was a new blessing, a new day, and that we would have the resources in the house that we need to continue to branch out and do all that God has us to do around the world. How many of you guys think that's a good vision? That's a good vision, y'all. That's a good vision, okay? So first part of us preparing for the season that God has for us is recognizing that he is preparing us. He has drafted us. We are part of his mission, his purpose, his church in this world. And that part of our challenge is to focus our eyes on the one who carries the prize, right? Focus our eyes on Jesus, knowing that he is the author and the fulfiller of his promises in our lives, okay? So that's what we're talking about. Vision as a definition is defined by Merriam-Webster as a noun, and it's the ability to see. Somebody needs to write that down right there, because that is profound truth, right? Vision is that you can see, right? That's pretty good. All right, that's not good. That's okay. It's to have sight or eyesight, something that you imagine, a picture that you see in your mind, something that you see or a dream, especially as part of a religious and supernatural experience. In biblical times, God sent vision to his people as prophecies. How many of you guys believe that God is still sending vision to his people through prophecies? And prophecy, as its most basic form, are the promises of God released in Christ Jesus for us to walk in from here until eternity. Amen? That's what it is that God has said about his people, and that's what he wants to do. But I also understand that our hearts can get sick along the way. I also understand that most of us feel like, God, we're waiting, right? So I decided that since Andrew was going to quote C.S. Lewis last week, I would quote St. Ignacio from the great movie Nacho Libre as an illustration of what it looks like to live with a vision and what it looks like to live without a vision. Let's roll that.
Don't you want a little taste of the glory? See what it tastes like?
No.
So at its most basic form, when we're talking about this idea of vision, Esqueleto is not living with vision, right? He's just slumping around, walking by, and Nacho challenges him and says, don't you want a taste of the glory? See what it tastes like, right? It's not too bad. That was pretty close, right? In its most basic form, that's what I believe that we get to do when we live with vision that God gives us, is we get a taste of the glory early. We get a taste and live out the glory of God in our lives from the moment that we come into a relationship with him throughout eternity. How many of you guys want a taste of the glory? Huh? That's God's promise to us. That's what he does through the Holy Spirit in a relationship with Jesus Christ, is he releases his glory in his people for the purposes for which he created them. How many of you guys know that before you were born, God saw your life, he spoke over your life, and he cast a vision for you? Most of us are somewhere in the process of discovering what that looks like. Most of us may even struggle just to say, I just need energy to, you know, make it through the week. However, when we raise up our eyes and we see the faithfulness of God throughout time, when we see the work that he wants to do in us, we can live as people who show the glory of God in our lives. So first, we've got to see the vision. Because if we don't see the vision, my premise was what? That we won't pursue the vision, right? How many of you guys today with me would say, I'm gonna continue to pursue God's vision for my life? I'm going to do it. I'm going to continue to call that forward, even when it looks like it's in delay, even when it's a challenge. Because gearing up isn't just about seeing a vision and talking about a vision. It's about making preparation for the vision, right? That's what I try to talk about with the training camp idea. We've got these guys out there sweating and working hard and practicing and practicing and practicing so that they can come together and win another world championship for us here in Denver, right? Here's another way to think about it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Those of you that have true vision can see this. Those of you that do not, I'll read it for you. Sorry about how small our font is. We're figuring it out. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 13 of the New Living Translation says this. It's Paul talking to his son of the faith, Timothy. He says, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. In other words, you've been drafted into God's kingdom. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before so many witnesses. How many of you guys would agree with me that that's a great text for thinking about what it is that we do in preparation for God's promises in our lives? That's not necessarily the destiny that we need to figure out how to get to. How many of you guys know God knows how to get us to our destiny? How many of you guys know that God has delivered his destiny to us? But what Paul is telling Timothy is to pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention to your attitude. Pay attention to the calling that I have given, that you have taken hold of. And when I think of that word taken hold of, it says hold tightly. How many of you guys know in order for us to pursue the vision God has for us, we've got to hold tightly to it? Because there are going to be some waves. There are going to be some challenges. There are going to be some giants in the land, as Caleb had to deal with, right? And when I think about holding tightly onto something, it reminds me of the years when I was a much younger man when I used to ride some bulls, okay? Now, most people think, I don't know how many people have ever had the experience, the exhilaration, the thrill of ever getting on the back of a bull. But you don't just show up one day and say, hey, I'm going to get on that bull. Right? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? And so as part of the preparation, you train your body. You train yourself. You watch tape on them. It's the same thing as any other area of our life. You do the preparation beforehand, and then they give you what's called a bull rope. And basically what you do is you tie that rope around the body of a really big animal with bad intentions, and then you tie yourself to that animal, right? I mean, I know a lot of people just say, so you just like hold on really tight? Is that what you do? It's like, no, there's more to it than that. But the process of it is you've got a handhold that you have to slide your hand into, and then you take the tail of that rope, you wrap it around your wrist, you open up your hand, you bring it back through your hand once again, and then you cock your thumb over it so that no matter what happens, you don't let go during that ride. And I can tell you, some weird stuff happens during those 8 seconds that makes you want to let go, that makes you want to open your hand and do the things that you do. And for those that are really committed, they take what they call a suicide wrap, right? That should be rule number one, don't ride bulls when they have language like suicide wraps. Okay, suicide wrap just means that you pop open your pinky after you've pounded your fist, lock that thumb in, and you take that tail and you wrap it back between your fingers, and then you punch that back down too. So you think about, you got your hand in the handhold, you got it wrapped around your wrist, you got it coming back through to tie your hand to that bull, and then you're tying it again through one of your fingers that may or may not survive that ride, right? To me, that's the picture of what I see Paul describing to Timothy. Hold tightly to that dream that God has for you. Hold tightly to the vision that God has for you as part of his people. Hold tightly. Don't let loose. No matter what happens on that 8-second ride or that 45-year ride or however many years that we have on this earth, hold tightly to the eternal life which God has given to you. Amen? So gearing up is not just seeing a vision, because we won't pursue something that we can't see. Gearing up is not simply pursuing a vision, okay? Though that is part of it. But we have to prepare and pursue our visions. So going back to the story of Caleb, here's a couple of things that stood out to me from the text that I just described to you in his journey towards the promises that God had for him. First is that Caleb acted with courage in the face of adversity. How many of you guys know it takes courage to follow Jesus in this world? How many know that it takes courage to follow Jesus in this world? That's what Caleb did. Caleb said, I don't care about the giants in the land. I don't care that those cities are fortified. I don't care about the challenges that are between me and my best future with God. I'm going to go into that land because God has called me to go in that land. How many of you guys like me would say, God, give us a spirit of Caleb. Give us a spirit of a people who in the middle of adversity would show courage and press into the scary things that we run into in pursuit of your best for our lives. Caleb put on a different spirit, it said, right? It said that he followed God wholeheartedly. That the difference between Caleb and Joshua's testimony and the rest of those who were scared off by all the giants and the scary things in the land said that he had a different spirit, that he followed God wholeheartedly. It says that Caleb stood up and stood out, that he brought back a good report of the land, right? How many of you guys know it's hard to bring back a good report in a scary land? How many of you guys know it's hard to act with courage when you're facing people and challenges that are bigger than you, harder than you've ever had to deal with, right? But it also takes courage to come back to your own people and be that smiley voice and say, surely we can do it. Surely we can do it, right? I know some of you guys out there are saying, he calls me Shirley one more time. I'm going to go up there and show him some courage, right? Surely we can do it. Surely Caleb could do it. And why could Caleb do it? Because he followed God wholeheartedly. Why is that important? Because what he was looking at was a giant God with a giant plan for his life, and that brought perspective to the giant challenge that he was facing. He was reminded and remembered that God is bigger than any of the challenges that we're going to face. Caleb showed conviction to ask for his blessing. So think about just the fast forward timing of this, right? Moses gives them the promise. They go into the promised land. They scout it out. They come back, give a good report. They go into the promised land. They spend all of these years walking around in the wilderness. They spend all this time conquering the lands that God has given to them to inherit. And he spends his whole entire life. It says 45 years of his life is spent fighting for other people's inheritance. Can I just tell you that's part of being a part of the body of Christ? That part of of God bringing personal vision and victory and purpose in our lives is partnering to reach other people with the vision that God has for their lives. That's what he did. He spent all that time, and then he came back to Joshua and he says, hey, you remember, right? You remember. I know it's been a long time. I know that Moses said this like 4 decades ago and some change, but that's my land. That hill country, God gave that to me. And it says that Joshua blessed him and that they went up and he conquered that land. Now, here's the part that I don't know if the scriptures just kind of blow your mind sometimes. It does mine. It's like, okay, God, 45 years? 45 years? Right? And then Joshua blesses, says, yeah, go get your hill country. And what does he find standing there? The 3 descendants of Anak. So think about Shaquille O'Neal 4 times over, right? 3 of them standing right in front of you. And he's walking up at 85 years old. And he says, I am still as vigorous as I've always been. I'm going to continue to fight and wage war for the Lord. Isn't that a good picture today? That even if we're 85 years old, God can give us the strength to take hold of the promises he has for us. 45 years is tough, but if I was 85 years old, walking up on 3 Shaquille O'Neals, I might just say, this looks like some good territory. I think I'll just stop right here. Right? But no, he pressed in, he pressed on, and he inherited the promises that God had for him. So, how can we learn from Caleb and live that out? If you want to read the culmination of that story that I just told, Joshua 14, verses 5 through 14. Right there. But here's the final piece of us being a people who inherit the promises that we have. It's remembering that gearing up is that Jesus prepared and gave us his promises. So when you think about that suicide rap that I talked about on getting on the back of a bull, that's the way that God holds on to you. That's what Jesus does in us. And you know the scriptures, right? The scriptures say in John chapter 10, verse 28, that I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. How many of you guys are excited with me today that it's not just because I can see a vision, it's not just because I'm preparing my life to receive the vision that God has, but I'm excited because God has that vision over my life and that he has committed himself to seeing us through in that. Gearing up means remembering that Jesus is the one who fulfills the vision for our lives. So let me ask you today as the worship team comes up and we prepare to close out our service tonight, what vision are you pursuing? What is the vision that God has spoken over you? Do you know? And if not, what are parts of the vision that you know that God has already spoken over his people for the purposes for which he calls us that you might be able to participate in? My personal opinion is that God has given vision to every single person to fulfill as part of his body in Christ. You guys believe that with me? It's not about the heroes. It's not about the big show. It's about God's people living faithfully day in and day out in the minor things and in the major things to bring glory to his name. Because really, that's all vision is, right? We're sharing in the glory of his life through us. So what's your 3G goal? What's your God-given goal? What is that big, hairy, audacious goal? My prayer today is that God would speak to us personally and corporately for new revelation, new vision, and new dreams to come out of this place. Second question that I have is now that we've, you know, the pastor's gotten up and confessed that it's not just about being in the promised land, it's about the preparation and the journey towards the promises of God in our lives. How's your heart handling your destiny detours? I can tell you that's where God does most of his ministering to me. It's changing my attitude. It's reminding me of where he's taken me from already that I should be giving praise for instead of complaining. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Right? One last scripture and then we'll close. Psalms says in chapter 37, verses 23 and 24, that the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. That's the promise over us today, church. So as we take a few moments before we run back out into the craziness that we call life, before we run back out into the pace that can sometimes get us distracted, that can sometimes get us detoured, would you spend just a few moments with the Lord and wrestle with those two questions? And Father, as we wrestle with your will, as we wrestle with your word for us today, Lord, we ask you to speak to us, Lord, that you would raise up Caleb generation in this church. Lord, that you would raise up a people who take hold of your word, take hold of your promises, and white knuckle it until you bless them. Lord, I'm thinking of Jacob. I'm thinking of his wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And it says in the text that he would not let go until he was blessed. Lord, help us to be that people. Help us to be those that do not cast off restraint, but rather those that diligently love your direction, love your word, love your discipline, knowing that that's what brings us fruit and brings us into your fulfillment of your full promises for us. Father, I pray for everyone here today that you would release vision to them. Lord, that you would help them to see the critical and amazing gift that they are in the midst of what you're doing in us and through us. And Lord, I pray most of all that we would be a people who faithfully follow you, trusting in Jesus through our destiny detours. Amen? Amen. Bless you, Lord. We thank you for bringing remembrance to us today, Lord. That really what we're doing here on this earth is simply preparing for the eternity with you that you've called us to. Lord, help us to live our lives with that kind of perspective. Lives that pursue your greatest promises over us, no matter what failures, no matter what detours, no matter what challenges may present themselves along the way. Father, we acknowledge that you are a good, good God, that you've got big dreams for your babies, for your children, for your men, your women, your young people. Lord, I pray that you would speak life to them today. Lord, that you would fuel them to pursue your promises with a passion that keeps us from falling to the wayside, being distracted by the many things that can distract us. Lord, we admit today, Lord, that we can be a distracted people. But as much as we know how, we set our eyes to you and we ask you to raise us up as a Caleb generation. Raise us up to pursue your best promises for your people, in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I never really considered, took the time to think that God has a grand vision for my life. And today, I'm taking that challenge to pursue God, to ask him what that might be. I'm taking hold of those promises of eternal life, and I'm making the commitment, as Jacob did, not to let go until I'm blessed. If that's you here today, I celebrate that with you. But maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I didn't know that any of this was possible. I didn't realize that there's a chance for me to be a part of God's glory in this world. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came to earth and died on the cross so that you and I could live as part of his glory in this world. And Romans chapter 10 tells us that we can and we do participate in the life of Jesus in this world when we can confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose from the dead 3 days later. That we don't have to be spectacular people because we serve a spectacular God, amen? And so if that's you here today and you want to pray that prayer for the first time to say, I want to be a part of God's glory in this world through Jesus. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior for the very first time. We're going to pray a prayer with you corporately that we pray every week here at North Rock. And if you're making that decision for the first time, I want to meet you after the service. I've got a gift for you that will help you get started in this journey with Jesus. But whether it's your first time or it's your affirmation to continue to participate in God's promised plans for your life, let's pray it like it's our first time. Let me hear you, church. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I rose from the grave 3 days later. That's right. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen. Hey, if God's doing something good in your life, would you give him an applause? Can we thank him for what he's doing in our midst? We love you, God. We thank you for your dreams over your people. If you would like prayer for anything, we have a prayer team available after the service. Otherwise, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here at North Rock. Have a great week, okay?
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.